And no, who stand there? Good to see everyone this morning. Welcome each one out to New Harmony Baptist Church. Excited for our first Sunday of 2021. Brand new year. God's going to do some great things. And excited to get going. I know we talked about how bad 2020 was, but God did bless many ways. And I know there's, like I said all morning, there was bad things. It seems like 2020 brought us, but we need to look at the blessings and be thankful for what God did and what He's going to do this year. And on that, we have many prayer requests. Of course, remember this upcoming year for all of us. I ask that God blesses and, of course, takes this virus away from us. We're praying for that this year already. I pray for our church that we'd get closer to God as we should, each one of us, and really be about His glory. I know there's a lot hurting this morning, a lot of people still in the hospital, a lot of people still sick. Of course, continue to be with Janelle's family. Pray for them, as it's not easy to go through this time. You're never ready for it. So just pray for them. That's the only thing we can do, and pray that God's peace fill them as they don't even understand. Can you remember Peggy Cochran? She is still weak. Many of you don't know, she was in the hospital with COVID and is home now, but still really weak. And if you look at me and Corey, you'll see that we need her to get well quick. So pray hard, but give her time. We want her to be strong and healthy when she comes back. If she don't get back in a hurry, Corey's going to look like that hedgehog on TV, and I'm going to look like one of the Beach Boys. Put a hat on my hair, rolled out my hat the other evening. So we need her. So, but seriously, y'all pray for her, pray for strength. As Corey said, she's real weak, so pray that she gets stronger. I know there's many, many others that have had loved ones in the hospital, people's at home fighting this virus and different things, but there's still other sicknesses going on, cancer and all those suffering from that. So just so much that we need to remember this morning. But I want us to remember that God is still God and He's still in control. And we have to rest easy. We can't go through life with the anxieties of all this stuff. That's not why He came. The Bible says He came to give us life and give it abundantly. And abundant life is not full of anxiety. It's full of relying on God. So I know it's hard, but let's pray for that for our new year. Any other prayer requests before we pray? Anybody? Not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us to come back into Your house. We thank You for giving us another start of another year. God, we pray that in this 2021 year that I pray for myself, that I would draw closer to You and understand who You are more. I pray for our congregation to do that also. God, I pray that You would use us in 2021 to reach Your community, to reach those who are blind, those who don't care to hear the Word. That God, You would put us in their path and that You would open their hearts and minds when You give us the words to speak. God, I pray for those that are sick. I pray for the ones who have lost loved ones. I pray for Your comfort and Your peace in their life. I pray that You heal those that's in the hospital. I pray You give the doctors and nurses the safety and the ability to treat them. And Lord, that You'd bring them home quickly. And I would pray for Peggy this morning, that You give her strength. Just give her the desire. I know it's hard to, when you're down like that, to want to see how you can ever go forward again, but give her, just lift her up this morning. God, we ask You to be with our service, be with our singers, that we can do nothing here today but to honor and glorify the name of Jesus, for in His name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us this morning in songs of praise and worship.
Who died for me. Who I am, you're good.
That music this morning. Again, excited to start this brand new year and to see what God has in store. I began thinking about what to preach today, and God kept showing me all week of how much we need Him, and how much the thought that kept coming to my mind is we need God, and He has provided us with everything we need to be what He's called us to be. And I'll be letting you turn over to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, when you turn over there. I didn't know until I studied a little bit that Isaiah is called the Miniature Bible. It's got 66 chapters. Of course, our Bible has 66 books. The first 27, or I said it wrong, first 39 books of the Bible are, of course, the Old Testament. First 39 chapters of Isaiah is about Old Testament things. The last verses of our Bible that make up the 66 are about the New Testament. We know that tells about Jesus, and which all the Bible tells about Jesus, but it is the New Testament, and Isaiah, the last books of it, also tell about things of New Testament times. So it's amazing what God did with Isaiah. And this morning, what we're going to preach about is Isaiah is prophesying about what Israel and the Jews will have to go through in Babylonian captivity years and years before they was to get there. We know he even calls the kings by name. So we know that God truly had shown Isaiah these things. The people was going to have to go into captivity. And in doing so, they was going to start worshiping false gods. And we know that the Bible teaches a lot about false gods. And I don't think there's ever been a greater generation to worship false gods than the generation we live in now. Now, we don't have the statues put up. We don't have the pictures of Buddha, that type of things in our houses, or you better not. We don't have those things, but we worship many other gods besides the one true God. Just think about it. There are a lot of gods we worship. Now, it's not wrong to enjoy things. It's not wrong to have things, but when it comes wrong, it's when you put them before God. And today, we as God's children, we are called to do one thing for God. One thing, bring Him glory. How do you bring God glory? How do you bring an all-knowing, almighty God glory? The Bible teaches us to seek you the kingdom of God first, and all this stuff will be added unto you. You begin seeking out what you can do to make a difference to the kingdom of God. And you have been giving everything that God wanted you to have to do what He's called you to do. Now, I could ask you what you thought you lacked. Never one of us would raise our hands and say, I lack this, I lack that. You know, I talk about it a lot. I wish I had been 6'7" or 9 or 10, and I would pick on all the short people. But it wasn't God's will. He made me exactly like He did. I wish I had been smarter. I could be doing this, this, and this, I would think. But He made me exactly like He wanted me to do what I've got to do for Him, and so are you. So we see this in Isaiah chapter number 43. We'll read verses 6 through 11. But listen closely as I read. He says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God. There was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Father, we thank you today for this word. God, we ask you to help us to apply it to our hearts and lives. God, touch someone this morning. God, my prayer is that somebody will hear this and understand that they was formed for your glory, and you made them exactly like they needed to be. You put in them exactly what they needed to have, and it's up to us to put it into action. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We were made for God's glory. Think about this now. Your sole purpose in life was for God's glory. That's the only way. He didn't make you to work at your job, and that's great. He gave you a job, but he didn't make you for anything like that. All that stuff is good, but he made you for his glory. For his glory. Now listen, God could have made anything for his glory because he is almighty. He could have made the rocks for his glory, and he did. He could have made all this stuff for his glory, but he desired to make you for his glory. And I think we are guilty of talking about how little we are, how we are not good for anything, and Satan will tell us that many times. But my friend, think about this. You were made to bring glory unto an almighty God, so you must be pretty special. If you're going to bring glory to the Almighty who is over everything, who is everything, then you must be a special, special being. Don't ever let anybody tell you any different because you were made for that purpose. That amazes me this morning. How do we do this? I know we're made for God's purpose, and we are failing because we have made man the king of glory. We're made to bring glory unto God, but we have made man the king of glory. So what do we do? How do we understand this? Now, we are living in a time when it don't matter what you believe morally. If you are popular, then people is going to glorify you. They'll walk around with their name on your shirt. You see, many people have jerseys or different things with people's name on it, and we brag about how great they are. And listen, I like football is next to the most person, and race cars and all that stuff, and I think they're pretty neat. Somebody can do all that stuff, but I am not to glorify them. I am to bring glory to the name of Jesus. And think about this. We are failing because we have done this, and we have taken and made all these people and put them up on a pedestal, and then we listen to them for some reason. People take their spiritual advice from Hollywood. The people who are divorced 1,400 times. They take all these things from these stars who don't know anything but how to play basketball or football or drive a race car or hit a baseball or something. And we take all that from that, and we glorify these men, and we lift them up and say, oh, how great these men are. And we've got an almighty God who teaches us always, who formed us always, and we bring him no glory. It tells us this in Psalms 24. This is the whole chapter, 24, 1 through 10. It said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So everything is his. We understand that. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. You understand what he's saying? We want to be great, and we want to understand greatness, and we strive to be great our own selves, but we allow other things to take God's place. He said, if you want to glorify me and you want the glory, he said, simply lift your heads up and understand who I am, and I will come in, and I will allow you to bring me glory. Now listen, we tend to think about glory and we say, well, that God, he must be real headstrong. He must be all this thing, and how can he want all that glory? Listen, he wants all the glory because he deserves all the glory, because he is great. He is sinless, he is holy, he is perfect, and he has made me and formed me that I may be in the likeness of him. Boy, it's amazing today what he has done for us. Listen to this. He has formed us, this scripture says. I had to look up that word form because he says several things. In verse 7 of Isaiah 43:7, he says different things. He says, I have formed you, I have made you. Now I looked up the word formed in the Greek and Hebrew in the Strong's Concordance. And you know what it form means? Form means to be squeezed. It means to put something in some boundaries. And God says, I have formed you. Now listen, we as people, we do not like boundaries. We don't like boundaries. Think about this. We get on the interstate and the speed limit says 70. Do you know what that means? It means the limit, that means the most you're supposed to go is 70. But you know what I do? I take 70 as a starting point. We all do. Because I heard somebody the other day said, I know so-and-so is a state trooper. I'm going to ask him how much I can go and not get pulled over. 70. I'm not smart, but that is the limit. And we all get on the interstate and we set our cars on 70 miles an hour and we think we're doing good because we're right there. We like to be right on the line. And if we really want to do good, we have been taught that you can run 78 and they won't pull you over. So we set it on 78. So us people, we do not like boundaries. And if you're going to be formed, you must have boundaries. The concrete floor in the fellowship hall, I told them this in Sunday school. That thing is perfectly square, I believe. Now, Jonathan would argue, but he's probably measured it 100,000 times. But listen, it is formed like it should be. Now you could take that exact same amount of concrete and dump it on the ground without a boundary and you have a big mess. No good for anything. But when you take the same amount of concrete and you put boundaries, you make a floor that something can be built on. And that's what God has done with you. He has formed you. He has put boundaries on your life. And if you want to think about squeezing, maybe the right way to think. But he has conformed you into something that can be used. And we ought to praise him for that this morning. But we whine. God, why would you squeeze me? God, why would you want to mold me? God, why you want to put these boundaries on me? Because we all as men, again, we love to break boundaries. We don't like to be anywhere around boundaries. I hate being told I have to do something. I think that's why I have such a bad problem with these masks. Because they say I've got to do it. I understand it helps and all that. I know that. But listen, the flesh part of me cannot stand to be told that because it's boundaries. We are rebellious by nature. We hate these things, and God has to put them there to form us into what we must have to bring glory unto him. Let me ask you this. How many people you think would bring glory unto God unless God put boundaries on their life? None. We'd be running around like wild, crazy men, going as fast as we wanted to go, doing all we wanted to do, eating what we wanted to, drinking what we wanted to, doing all the illegal stuff we wanted to. We would be completely wild. That's why people must have boundaries, and God has formed you to make you what you are to be. He says, I formed you and I made him. The word made is make in the simplest sense. He made everything about you. He made your face the way it looks. He made your hair the way it looks or lack of. He made you just exactly like he wanted to make you, and he has made you perfectly. And you are there to bring glory unto him. Listen to this. Secondly, he even give you instructions on how to bring him glory. He instructs you on how to do this. Isaiah 43, verse 8, listen to this. He says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. So you are to, he said, I have created you in verse 7 for my glory. And then he tells you in verse 8 how to bring him glory. That's bring in the ones who can't see, the ones who are spiritually blind, the ones who are spiritually deaf, who don't want to hear about God. He says, bring them in. Bring them in. You know why? Because God desires that all men to be saved. And if you don't bring glory unto a holy God, you bring in the sinners and you let God change them, my friend, then you bring glory unto God. It's not about how great you can preach or how great you look or how great you can do this or that. What this thing's about is bringing the lost unto God and letting God save them. Because I can't save them anyway. I'll probably mention this book 100,000 times before it gets out of my mind. Stephanie bought me this book by John Cooper. If you don't know John Cooper, he looks like a hoodlum. He's a lead singer for Skillet. And all these women think he's hot for some reason. But he is a very spiritual man, I've come to learn. And I've read his book, and he talks a lot in that book about how we become thinking that everything has got to be cool. And this is coming from a man who does this for a living. This is coming from a man who entertains crowds. And he said, we've come to think more about the pastor's got to look cool. He's got to have on the blue jeans that's torn up, or he's got to have on the... Now, this is from a man who dresses like this. He said that he's got to have the earrings. This is a man that's got one in his nose. He's got to have tattoos. This is a man that's got them from here to there. And listen, this man, it does that, but God has showed him something that we have become more worried about how cool we can be and the things that's got to look like the rest of the world than we are worried about somebody who simply tells the truth. It don't matter if you're short, fat, skinny. It don't matter if you wore the tore blue jeans. I don't care. As long as you are preaching the truth that God came to save sinners and there's only one way to Him. And if you're doing that, you bring glory unto God. But we've come to think we've got to do a certain thing, like everybody else. He gives us instructions. And you realize something. He doesn't say, if you want to, bring in the blind. If you want to, bring in the deaf. He says, bring in the blind people. Bring in the deaf people. There's scripture in the New Testament. He says, go the highway, the hedges, and bid them to come. He says, compel them to come. That word compel means drag them in. He says, bring them into my house that they may hear my word and they may be forever saved. Listen, church, I want to ask you a question. And don't answer it aloud because I don't want to answer it because I don't want to be embarrassed. When is the last time you actually prayed for a lost person? When's the last time you cared about a lost soul? When's the last time you saw someone on the street and you said to yourself, I don't know how they are with God, but I truly care for that person? When's the last time? I'll be honest with you, we become so busy we don't do it anymore, and we wonder why we struggle to have people in churches. It's because we don't tell them about Jesus. We don't let them see Jesus in our life, and because of this, we are not bringing the glory unto God that we was formed to do. It's all about the kingdom of God. It's not a suggestion. He says in Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples unto me. He don't say stop at Alabama, stop at Georgia, or stop because they're white, black, or yellow, or whatever color. He says go to all the world and make disciples and preach them in my name and tell them I love them and that I will save them. Church, we are failing miserably. You want a great 2021? I tell you how to do it. Bring glory unto God. And He gives you instructions. He desires all to be saved and none to be lost. We're to have a care for them. We're to have a desire. And he goes on in Isaiah chapter 43:9, it tells us we are to be a witness of Him. Listen to this. This is talking about some false witnesses, but we're going to get into the good stuff. Let all nations be gathered together, let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses, they may be able to justify it, or let them hear and say it is truth. He's saying these witnesses here, they don't know about a true God. He said that what they're witnessing of, they don't know things that happened before. They don't know things that's going to happen in the future. And they don't know these things. He says, but I am God and I see this stuff. We are called to be witnesses. You know what a witness does? He tells what he saw, what he heard. And all these things, you know what they're supposed to do? I don't know if they still do it. I ain't been in a courtroom, thank God. Pat probably has. But I think used to, I saw on TV, when you went into a courtroom, they would take a Bible and you would lay your hand on it. Do they still do that? Do anybody know? Yeah, we're good. That was a test. No, I'm kidding. But they used to take this and you swore that you would tell the truth. Now, listen, to be able to tell that, supposedly you have to know the truth. You have to see the truth. You have to hear the truth. You have to do some way so you could witness what is the truth. And you are called, according to the Word of God, to be witnesses to a lost and a dying world in verse number 10. Listen to this, 43, verse number 10. It says, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant." He says right here that you are to be, them people he's talking about to come from the other countries, they didn't know what they witnessed because they didn't know they was false gods. He says, "But you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen." You, again, have been chosen of God, that you may know and believe me. Now again, to be a witness, you have to understand, you had to know something, you had to see something take place, you had to know there was a difference. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt this morning that you know the King of Glory? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know for a certain today that your soul is saved? If you don't, my friend, then you cannot be a witness. Would you want a witness who didn't know anything witnessing for you on the stand in a court? They say, "Well, I heard this is what happened. Well, I have been around, this is what happened." No, if you want a witness to get you out of something, brother, you know one that knows the truth, that saw the truth, that heard the truth, that knows for certain it's the truth. That's what you are. You are to be witnesses that believe me. You are to be witnesses that understand that I am He. You see, I think we know God with our mind, but maybe we don't know Him with our heart. You see, because we have been fearful, and listen, when you're living in a time as we're living in, if you're not fearful, then there may be something wrong with your brain, because we are human beings and we try, everything we do in life is to avoid death. We're just like animals. That's what we are. We avoid death. We go to the doctor to avoid death. We don't walk in the street to avoid death. We don't jump off of high buildings to avoid death. Everything we do in our life is about avoiding this death. And so we get so caught up in that that we forget who God is. He says, "You are my witnesses. I have chose you." And the reason I have chose you is that you can be a witness to this lost and dying world that is blind, that is death. He chose you. Now, if I ask every one of you, what did you desire when you was a small child, you would have different answers. I don't know what Pat's would have been. She had no idea she was living 100 years. But if I asked Kim's, it would have probably said a doctor. Is that pretty close, maybe? Nurse. I asked Stephanie, would have wanted, but she would want to be an architect. Rudy, I don't know what Rudy wanted to be. But we all had aspirations, want to be. Personally, for some reason, I thought I knew I couldn't play professional football. I was small. Knew I wasn't too smart, so I wasn't going to be a doctor. But I thought I might could be a race car driver, but I was too scared. So I just become a part seller and a preacher. But seriously, if I ask you what you desire to be, we all have something. We might not even want to admit it. Small children think they can be Batman. They think they can be Superman. They think they can be anything they think. They think they can do that. But we have been given something that is better than anything we could ever desire to be. We have been chosen by God. That's a higher title than the President of the United States. That's a higher title than LeBron James, whatever he was called, some kind of sports star of the year. Don't understand that one, but anyway. That's higher than being on Time Magazine People of the Year or People Magazine or whoever does that. That's a higher title. My friend, you have been chosen of God. What an accomplishment. We strive to achieve all this stuff in life, and yet we've already been given the best thing we could have. We've been chosen of God. And all He asks us to be is a witness. Be a witness. You remember the days that when people used to go from door to door and invite people to church? I understand we're in a virus. We'll put that off a little while, but listen. We'd go that. We had a word, we say, witness. We'd say, we're going on Tuesday night to visit and to be a witness. What was the witnessing for the goodness of God and for what He had done in our lives? And we got opportunity, we was to tell people that. Many people was brought into the house of God by this type of witnessing, and still are. It's how God chooses. But you know what? I'm going to be real honest with you right here. The witnessing part of this is the hardest thing for me because I am shy. I can stand here and preach all day, but when it comes into a stranger out on the street, I am shy. And I'm hesitant to bring up Jesus. And all along it don't make sense because I stand here and preach all the time that we need to bring people in the house of God. We need to tell them about this. So why in the world is this the hardest thing for me to do? And I think the answer to that is rejection. Rejection. We all want to be popular. We all want to be well known. We don't want to be the freak down there at New Harmony that tells people about Jesus all the time. Well, listen, until you become that, you might not bring God glory. Because He says, I have formed you. I have chosen you. I have made you. I have given you instructions about how to bring me glory. And now you got to make a choice. Do you want to bring me glory? Or you want to go through life as you have went? I don't know about you, but I think we have been given another year to bring God glory. You say, well, 2020, how could have God got glory from that? People is dying. People are sick in the hospital. Listen, there's never a better time to tell people about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords than in the midst of destruction and pandemic. They need to hear hope. You are a witness. Chosen witness. So this upcoming year, we got choices to make. The great thing is we've been given instructions about this. Isaiah 43:15-19. I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to close. But I want you to truly, truly listen. And you don't take anything else I said this day. You take these scriptures home with you and you read them every day this year. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. 2020 is a thing that many people don't want to remember. He says, forget about those things of the past. You know, most of what we worry about is the past. We worry a lot about the past. We cannot change one thing. He says, I will do a new thing. I will do something new. You know what new thing I think He's talking about? I think He's talking about being new to this lost and a dying world. That think there is no way. Listen, I encounter it every day. Never thought I would in a job selling car parts even. But I'm surrounded with people who do not see a way out other than an illegal drug, either than an alcohol, either than this. I'm right in the middle of it every day. He says, I'll do a new thing. I can't tell you what 2021 is going to be, but I do believe the Word of God. You see, Isaiah the prophet told about what was coming. And he told about how they was going to have to go through hard times. Church, we have been through hard times in 2020. I don't know that 2021 is any better. I can't tell you that. But I do know that he says, I will do a new thing. And it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? That's a question. Shall you not know it? When you see it happen, will you know it? He says, I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I want you today. I know there's people in here that are hurting. There's people in here that kin folks are sick. Loved ones have passed. Maybe your job is going away. Maybe you don't have any money. It could go on and on and on. But I want to challenge you one thing for this year. Will you strive to bring God glory? Not to yourself, not to our church, but to God. Will you strive to bring Him glory in everything you do? He gave you directions of how to do it. Bring in the blind. Bring in the deaf. Bring in those who don't look like they belong. Bring in those you normally wouldn't talk to. Go out of your way to tell them who Jesus is. And don't just tell them, let Him see them. You never know who's waiting for you to speak up, for you to be a witness about Jesus Christ. This morning, do you know that you can be a true witness? You see, a witness had to experience it. And that's what you're called today. Do you know where He brought you from? Do you know what He's brought you out of? Do you know what He has done? If He's changed your life today, will you bring God glory? In 2021, will you bring God glory? Lift Him up. Let Him see. We figured out something in 2020 if we didn't figure out anything else. We don't need sports. We can live without them. We don't need a job. It's great, but we made it for a little while without it, some of us. We don't need a bunch of things. We don't even have to go out and eat. We think we do, but it's nice. I started to say we don't need toilet paper, but I got a stash of it at the house. But you remember all the hard things we've come through? We figured out one thing we cannot do without. And that is God. As everyone stands this morning, 2021, brand new year. I don't think there's many weight loss commercials on TV this year. I think we're all worried about living. We're all worried about making it through this virus. But 20 new years have always been a bar to do something new. We use it as a time to reset. We'll start a diet. We'll start a workout program. We'll start reading our Bible. We'll start maybe coming to church more, maybe doing something more for God. We set the bar high sometimes. I'm going to ask you just to do one thing. Bring glory unto God in 2021. You've been given everything you need to bring Him glory. You see, even in this, you get a choice. Will you do that this morning? Will you resolve in yourself for this coming year to bring the glory unto who deserves it, the King of glory? Not to you, not to me, not to the church, not to anybody else, but to Jesus. For He alone is worthy. If you have no other reason, then think on this. He formed you. He created you. He made you. He redeemed you. He gave you a voice. He gave you an ability to communicate. He gave you ability to reach out to others. Your business, your job, whatever it is you do on a daily basis, He puts people in your path that are blind and deaf. Will you bring Him glory? Not just today, but all year. You see, if you get in a habit, it'll continue. Bring God glory. Maybe there's someone here that can't be a witness because you've never experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ. Would you open your heart today and ask Him to come in and forever change your destiny? It's not just a change today. This is a forever change. That you are saved completely. Forever, never again to have to worry about a place called hell. You've been given a new home and a new city. He's offering it today still. Would you say yes to Jesus Christ?